This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
At the same time that he was like literally going to the riots, and then at work I would face like anti-police rhetoric. That was, I felt, and I still am, like, I don't really fit in. Like, I feel like that, like, in certain communities anymore, because I was like,
welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Off Duty Podcast, episode number 103. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me here on the podcast. This young lady is a LEO wife. She's been married to a police officer now for 9 years, I believe. She's the creator of Hills and Holster, a fantastic blog. She's an author of an audiobook called Be a Happy Police Wife in Motherhood. Another guest from the state of California. Man, like I say, California has really been representing here on the podcast. I'm happy to have joining me today, Miss Kristen Linton. Kristen, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate you reaching out and asking to come on the podcast. Typically, I start each episode off with why law enforcement? But in your case, you're a law enforcement wife. So I want to ask you, why blogging?
Well, the blog resulted from my posting Instagram reels that are like funny police wife reels.
Okay.
And then I started getting like questions about police wife life. So then I started the blog. Honestly, it's just been this like effect of need or demand from my audience. And so that's why I started blogging. It's awesome. You know, I could reach more wives than just those that are on Instagram.
Yeah. What made you wanted to start the blog?
Initially, I started the Instagram reels and like posting comedy about police wife life and okay. I guess life a little bit. I started that as a result of 2020 being like a really tough year. I think it's funny you're saying California, because California doesn't, a lot of people here do not support police. So I think we had an especially challenging time during that time. And we, including the families, right? Like, even though we're home, even though we don't have to go out there and be on the streets, it still was a lot. There was a lot of police hate, and we're living that. And I face that. I work at a very liberal university.
Okay.
That there's a lot still of police hate and comments. And it's like, it just caught up to me, but I am someone that likes to be positive. So I wanted to put something kind of positive out there in the world. And I just posted one kind of funny reel and then got a lot of feedback from it and a lot of followers. So I just kept going, you know, and it's been a blast to like build a community that I feel like, even though maybe locally, I have some people, of course, in our life that support us, but because there's so much anti-police rhetoric here, it's nice to build a community globally. Like, I have global followers, which is so cool, and know I'm not alone in this. So.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, you know, with the whole anti-police thing out there in California, because believe it or not, California is my number one state for listeners. I get the most downloads from California, which is funny. You and your husband, you guys have been married now for 9 years. Was he in the profession when you got married?
Yes. He's been for 16 years, but we dated 10 years before getting married. So okay. We were on and off, like we were both, I was going to school, like we were just on and off dating, but I met him before he was an officer.
Yeah. Got you. Now with the blog and Instagram, you have a pretty good following. Do you offer any kind of courses or coaching in anything for other wives, or is it just strictly just to put the information out there, things that you've gone through?
Yeah, I don't have a course. I'm not in it to make money. So,
okay.
It's more of a hobby. I have a career that I love. And like, I've reflected on that. I'm not huge. You know, my following isn't huge. I think if it got huge, then that would be one thing. But I feel like it's still small in the Instagram and blog world. But that's kind of nice, because then I can just make that individual connections with wives. And I kind of decided, like, I don't really want to have a bunch of paid services or anything. I might do like a virtual support group or something that's free. And then I have the books. So just resources out there that are like affordable or free is what I'm going for.
And can you tell me about the book?
So I have two. I have the Audible book that was like the first thing I made because police wives, like I said, were just coming to me with a lot of questions. I don't think I started the blog yet. So I was like, oh, I'll write like a little guidebook that was like a lot of wives or even first responder wives. We go through like resentment and loneliness, like being home a lot. And especially for me, it happened when we first had kids because I was like, had just moved to LA. I'm alone with the kids a lot. And I kind of talk about, I'm pretty open about that. And then like, mm-hmm. How did I get out of it? So I wrote the guidebook, the Be a Happy Police Wife and Motherhood. I feel like it's not the most creative name, but that's what it is. And like kind of how to get out of that funk. And then I talk, it's really practical. Like these were the things I did. And then just this month, I published a devotional, police wife devotional. And that one's more like spiritual mindset. And then I go through, I call it like our come to Jesus growth moments in our marriage. And I even like asked my husband, like, what were those for you? Like our growth moments. And then I kind of have a devotional related to like each story and a Bible verse and prayer.
Expand on that a little bit with the growth moments. What was his answer?
Oh yeah. So it was one of them surprising, but it didn't. I mean, it's, we were engaged, I believe, at the time. We were only engaged like a year. But like I said, we dated so long. By the time we got engaged, like, all right, we're the ones. Like, let's stop messing around. But that year, we went to Washington, D.C. We're on vacation. And like, I think we had time to like reflect and talk about things since we were both like really busy couple just with our careers and everything. And so he was like, I think I was expressing that I thought he shouldn't be a cop forever. Like he was actually getting his doctorate in psychology. Okay. And I was like, why don't you just go do that? You know, like it's safer. I'm a professor. It's like, it's a nice quality of life. It is. And I was like, okay, you're working all these crazy hours, but you're getting this education. Like, you know, but he's like, I already have so much time on. He was getting it. He's a learner. Like he's getting it to learn and not necessarily like change careers or maybe after retirement, do something with it. But yeah. And he was like, honestly, I love my career. Just give me 5 years. And that was like one of the ones I wrote in the devotional. Cause he said, I asked you to give me 5 years, like support me in this career for 5 years. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And he said, he really appreciated that. I said that obviously I've done it for longer now and like fully embraced it. But it took me time because it is a dangerous career and it does take a lot out of you guys. And I didn't want that for him, you know?
Yeah.
But I know he loves it. And I have a lot of the moments in the book are like those moments where I saw that he really loves it and like his passion for it and he's in it for the right reasons. So.
Yeah. You mentioned resentment. Where does that come into play at?
When we first had kids, I was a new mom. I was really anxious. Like we didn't have a lot of family around. I moved to LA basically right when I had our first son.
Okay.
So I'm like sitting there anxious about this. My husband did take like a month off for paternity leave. I think that police get a wonderful, like, benefits. Mm-hmm. But I remember like after that, he was working a specialized unit and he's working swings. And I feel like on his days on, he'd come home and sleep, but then go back to work. You know, it's like a 10 or 12 hour shift plus with overtime. And then I'd have like 2 or 3 days with him off maybe, but then he's sleeping like half the morning. So it's just like a lot on us when the baby's not sleeping at night and you don't feel the true partnership.
Yeah.
And I'm also a working mom. And I felt like I got lost in it. Like I would tell him, I'm like, you're never home. And that doesn't help. Right. But I was lost in that like resentment and making him feel bad about it. And I think when you're lost in it, you don't realize like I'm hurting, not helping by telling him that. And I didn't know how to ask him for help like assertively. And also we were crazy. We tried to juggle. We said, okay, the first year Maverick, we're not going to have anybody else watch him. It's just going to be us. He'll work that like night, late afternoon shift. I'll work in the mornings. We'll never sleep again in our life, right? Like we did that for a year. It was the stupidest thing ever. And looking back, I'm like, we were cuckoo. Like, what were we thinking? So yeah. So I'm sure that did not help.
Yeah.
But then, like, But then once, after he was a year, we found a daycare provider and we hired her part-time. That's all I needed at the time. It was fine. And I felt like that alone. And that's why it's like practical things of like thinking, why are you resentful? Why are you lonely? You can address that without like, make some friends. I joined like a mom group and made some friends I still have today. And it's like, thank God for that, you know, because it wasn't just, I can't just have my needs met by him. It was, I just need adult time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it. My wife at the time when I started working, she ended up leaving work and she was home for the first, she was home for a while before she ended up going back to work. But yeah, I can definitely understand losing yourself because it's just you and the kids. And like you say, you don't have that adult interaction. And I spent most of my career working midnight. So, you know, when I was home during the day, especially the days I'm working, I was asleep.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the worst shift for us. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't feel the swings, but like I call it straight nights. Like if you're just working the whole night, that's awful for families, but some people do it and they love it.
Yeah. Well, we had started a business back probably about 3 years after I had got into law enforcement, and it was a janitorial business. So I kind of had to work that shift in order to, you know, make sure that was completed and everything, but it all worked out, you know, we got through it all and, the kids turned out okay. So
they're so resilient. Cause I think it took me time to like embrace, first of all, embrace like motherhood. Like I'm a mom, I'm going to sacrifice a lot, but then also embrace as a police wife, life, or like any first responder wife or shift work wife, like you're probably going to take on more. And I think once you like, that's the mindset piece. Once you embrace that and you're like, this is a part of me. And actually I'm contributing by like being supportive of my husband. I'm contributing to his work in that way. And like to the community, then it helps, you know, to like prevent that resentment too. And just embrace that.
Yeah. Like, you just have to change your mindset. And like you said, just realize that you do have a role to play, because if you weren't there to handle that, who knows what would go on with your kids and everything. So, you know, then I think it's like everything else in life. You just have to kind of change your perspective and look at things, try to find the positive in everything, because if you don't, it's real easy to get negative on damn near everything. So, So I totally get that. Where can people get the book from?
Both books are on Amazon.
Okay.
Is like a Kindle book too, and then the other one, it is on Amazon. The one that I talk about is like a Audible book, but I put it on Audible, and that was like an extra step I had to take. And I feel like it's better because it's for moms. Like moms are busy, and I listen to you. I listen to other podcasts like while I'm making dinner. So I just put that on there because it was like just more accessible, I feel like, for busy moms.
Yeah.
But the other one is not yet on Audible. It's just like a Kindle ebook or on Amazon. Okay.
And guys, I'll put links to that down in the show notes. So make sure you go over and check out Kristen's books and I guess it'll be a PDF that you can download for the latest one. All right, Kristen, you listen to the podcast. You know what it's all about. And I want to go ahead and get to my first segment. And this is what I call Dig Deeper. And for those that have never listened to the podcast before, Dig Deeper is where I get nosy and I go poking around my guest's social media. And I pull up certain posts and I ask questions around those posts. And there's two posts of yours that I came across. The first was an Instagram post, and it was a collection of photos of you and your husband, the two of you over the years. And the caption on that post read, "Each year is a blessing. I miss those Steve Madden black booty stilettos from Rick's off probation party, but I'll trade them for all the gifts we've had since then, especially marrying Rick and our adorable boys. If you're a police wife, there will be challenges, but you are strong." Obviously, you recall that post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Especially.
And my first question is, how'd you guys meet?
Oh, we met, oh my gosh, so 19 years ago now, and we met in a college class. I was 17, he was 21. I was in this like community college high school program. So I was still in school. And I wrote him a note to the man in the white shirt, and we still have it today, like, which is nuts. Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, that's bold. I was like, I was 17. I didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I was bored.
That's funny. You guys been together ever since, huh?
But like dated on and off. So like our dating time was rough, I would say, you know, like, cause we were just so young and had, and we always look back and we're like thankful because I grew a lot. I matured so much. Thank goodness, you know, before we got married. But yeah, we weren't together that whole time. So just want to clarify that. And there's a lot of girls that comment to me and they're like, oh, I broke up and I'm back together. And like, I'm like, man, we went through it. So it's okay. Like if that's part of your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Next question I want to ask you about that post is, what's been the absolute biggest challenge that you've had to overcome as a law enforcement officer's wife?
I think I would say the resentment, but really, like more recently, the police hate stuff was really rough. At the same time that he was like, literally going to the riots, and then at work, I would face like anti-police rhetoric. That was, I felt, and I still am, like, I don't really fit in. Like, I feel like that, like in certain communities anymore, because I was like, I'm going home to this person that you're talking about. So that's like more recent challenge that now that I've overcome the resentment that I deal with.
Yeah. Now you out there in California, I know you guys, like you say, you guys get it pretty bad with the anti-police stuff. What was that like for you guys during the pandemic?
Do you mean like COVID related or BLM stuff?
Yeah, I'll just all the BLM stuff and the anti-policing stuff. What was that like? And did that add extra stress to your marriage?
I feel like luckily we've been married a while. I feel like we were strong together and I kind of already knew like how to deal with Rick. Like my husband is not a talker. So unless like I make him tell me something about work, he won't. Like he just doesn't. He doesn't bring it home like that. So I remember I would watch the news like sometimes after my kids would go to bed and I would see the riots and I'm like, I don't see Rick, I didn't see him, but I knew like he's out there, you know? Mm-hmm. So then I had to ask him, like, I asked him the next day, like, is that you? And like, I see them throwing things at you guys. Do you have things thrown at you? I have to ask those specific things because he won't say anything. And he's like, yeah, we do. And I was like, oh, okay. What are they? It's like police, you know, like, what do they throw at you? And he's like, oh, like frozen water bottles and like the Molotov cocktails. And like, we're not supposed to do anything back. And I was like, that's awful. You know, I was just like,
yeah.
And then I know he was told like, basically do not like, don't pull anybody over. Don't like, just unless you absolutely have to, like they were just, this decrease in like prevention or decrease in just even kind of pulling people over and stuff among the police. But yeah, I think that luckily we were stronger. So it wasn't hard like on our marriage. But then what's interesting is because he doesn't tell me that much, like years later, the last year we were with a couple other officers doing our taxes together. No, it's kind of weird, but, and we're just sitting there waiting. And they were talking, the other officer was saying like he still has injuries from the riots. And I was like, what? Like Rick never told me that his coworkers got injured. And
yeah.
So, I mean, this is how much he really keeps it separate. And I think that does help our marriage. But then sometimes I feel like, I should know this.
What's his release to get rid of all that stuff that he deals with on his job?
Yeah, he works out. Like he does CrossFit. He works out like 5-6 days a week. So CrossFit, MMA, and Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would say like I did CrossFit one time. I want to go back and I felt like a badass. Like it is such a good workout. And I could see how it relieves stress. Like I feel like it is his therapy because he's not a talker. And that took me a long time. I think that's something that like some men are talkers, some aren't. And for me, I like, that's the way I get out stress. So for years of our marriage, I was like, why aren't you telling me anything? And I was like, doesn't it help you to talk? And he's like, no, it doesn't. It took me a long time to be like, oh, it really doesn't. Okay. Yeah. You know, like that's not it for you. Because it worked for me doesn't mean it works for him, but working out helps. So I have to give him time to do that. And that's not easy, right? Because if they're already gone a lot, but I think our kids are a little older and I'm able to like, it's fine now, but when they were younger and I was more stressed, like it was probably harder for me to give him that time.
I'm sure. One more question about that post. And heaven forbid this should happen, but if Rick went to prison for 10 years, would you wait for him?
Yeah, I would. Okay. Like no joke. We have discussed this because not like the 10 year specific, but because of all the craziness of like, I mean, I think that cops now feel like they could go to prison because of everything that's happened, for something they've been asked to do by the supervisor or be killed, you know, like it's real, right? So it's not like we sit around talking about it all the time, but we've talked about the prison thing. I was like, I would be loyal to him. Like Rick is my soulmate. Like there is nothing, that's it. And I always tell him like, I would just be single if something happened to you. Like I just would be done. So yeah I would wait, sure. Obviously, if anybody is in that situation, it's not so easy, I'm sure. Not at all, but yeah.
Now, would you expect him to wait for you? Heaven forbid that you went?
Yes.
I guess that's the only right answer to that question.
Oh, I'm going to tell him this later. I'll be like, you better say yes.
I want to ask you about one more post. And this was a recent post. It was actually a Father's Day video. And the caption read, "Happy Father's Day to the dead that have battled sleepless nights and have seen things most people haven't seen, but still come home and play pretend with their kids. Mm-hmm. Rick is a better dad than I could ever imagine. Our family is healing to Rick. He just wants to focus on us when he's home. It's such a gift. It took me time to realize this, but he doesn't need or want to vent when he's home about work. He wants to be present. It's truly amazing." And I'm sure obviously you recall that post. And my first question to you around that is, what causes you to have sleepless nights?
Oh, probably like when something happens, like, I know it made me emotional. I'm like, I'm a crier. So I'm over here like tearing up hearing you read that. But I think we have had, these are in the devotional too, like those gross moments, including I didn't realize how much like injured on duty was a theme for us. But after I wrote like these growth moments, I kind of put them into themes. And that's like probably at least 4 kind of devotionals or stories in the book. And so whenever like somebody close to us gets injured or something like that, then I would say then I worry. Like then if he's at working the like night shift or swing shift and I'm trying to go to sleep, like I definitely, it's harder, but yeah. I don't sit around and worry. Like a lot of wives say they do. They worry all the time. I just don't, like, it's not my personality, but if somebody close to us gets injured on duty, then I'm like more on edge for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Next question. What's one thing Rick does that drives you crazy?
Okay. He is the real jokester. Like I post the funny reels, but if he did, I'm always like, you would be huge. Like you should have been a comedian. I think a lot of cops, like he says, like if only could be at the station, like they're so quick. I'm not, but also sometimes I don't know he's joking and I've known him 19 years. Like he can hold such a straight face and that does drive me crazy. And sometimes the jokes is like too much or like too soon. He'll say he's like too soon. I'm like, yeah, too soon. Like, so it's, I love it because he like manages to make me laugh in like the worst, you know, like the hardest moments or whatever. And it's like lovely. But then sometimes I still can't read him. I still can't know when he's that drives me nuts. And then sometimes he does it a little bit too much.
What do you do that drives him crazy?
He'll probably never admit it. He would say I trained him well and he would never say it. Recently. Okay. So sometimes when I clean the house and I've hurt his feelings, I've hurt my son's, I throw things away. Like I get like overwhelmed by clutter and I threw something away of his recently and it was still in the trash. He's like, I don't want it now. And I knew he was upset. Like, so yeah, that I know.
That's my wife. Things just disappear. And I knew as soon as they're gone, I know what happened to them. Yeah. You've been in my office again, haven't you? last question about that post. When you need to vent, who do you turn to?
Rick, poor guy. He like comes, poor guy. I vent to him. I mean, I feel like as you get older, you know, you have like a smaller, okay. And him just in general, but if it's like a motherhood thing and like he's at work, I won't bug him. I have like my girlfriends for that, but just like for my work stuff or we're just talking, I want to talk to him about the boys or vent about like, okay, we have a 4-year-old and he's like, I posted about that. He's like a little teenager. It's not very strong opinions. So sometimes he drives me crazy. Like I'll vent about stuff like that. But yeah, I was a poor guy. Poor, mostly him. He's a very good.
How many kids do you guys have?
Just two boys.
Two? Okay. And one's 4 and how old is the other?
7.
Seven? Okay. If they wanted to get in the profession, would you encourage them to do so?
I guess. I mean, I will support them if that's what they're really passionate about. I think so. It's funny. Somebody asked me that. Like, do they talk about it? They don't. It's so cute. Maverick, our 7-year-old, already talks about being, he's like, when I'm a dad, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't talk about like when he's a officer or something. So that's kind of cute. But Rick, his dad was a cop too. And he actually was injured on duty. And his mom did not want him to be an officer. And
really?
She still is like, does not want him on the streets. And I'm sure that was so hard. But at the end of the day, when they're adults, you got to like just support them.
Just got to ride with it. Yeah. All right, Kristen, I want to get to my next segment. And this is what I call Random 7. And these are just 7 totally random, off the wall questions. So try to answer the best you can, okay? And the first one is, what's the most embarrassing thing your parents caught you doing?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Oh, singing. I remember, so I like went to this before I went to the community college high school, went to like a performing arts once, and I was singing once, and I'm really not the best. Like that wasn't my expertise. And I remember my dad coming in and I like pretended, like it was so awkward. So I'll just say that because it popped in my mind.
I'll try to think, what would that be for me?
Yeah. Tell me. Now I want to quiz you.
I'm trying to think, what would it be? Oh man, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I know there's something, I just can't think of it.
Okay, say it later. If it pops in your head, say it later. Whatever.
Okay, I will. I know there's got to be something, I just can't think of it. Next question. What habit can't you seem to quit?
Tea. Okay, so I'm drinking tea. I feel like it keeps me going. And luckily it's not coffee, but it's still like totally an addiction. So we'll see that.
What's your favorite?
Chai tea.
Okay.
Yeah, like from Honey. Starbucks, but I make it at home. I buy like it at Target and I make it at home, so it's a little cheaper, but still it has to be the Starbucks one.
Yeah, I find myself drinking more tea than coffee nowadays. Even though I still have to have my energy drinks, and my wife gets on me about that, but that's another conversation. Next question. If you could have someone else's life for one day, who would it be?
It'd be really cool to switch with Rick. So like, I know a lot of wives do the ride-alongs, but at LAPD, you're only allowed to go like with the supervisor, and Rick's like, it's different. You know, like they're not on the streets that much. So it'd be cool to like switch roles with him or his partners where Rick used to work in like South Central. And like, I just remember Rick kind of the things he said about like working that area. It's like really sad, but I think every time I get to, Rick doesn't wear his uniform home. So like every time I get to see him in uniform or just at the station, it's like a wake up call for me. So it'd be cool to get to know him better on like, just little things. Like he thinks it's boring, but to me, it's like the little things of like just them in the car and the radio calls. It's like interesting. And then I get to know him better and like what he deals with.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife did, I think, 2 ride alongs with me. And it was interesting because, like you say, you get to see a side of the job that, you know, most people never see. And it was interesting because she's into all that stuff. You know, it was just another day at work for me, but she loves all, she loves all that stuff. I think if I had to switch, it would probably be the president.
Oh, wow.
Only because I would want, there's some secrets about the government I would like to find out about.
Oh, we're all on the same page. I know. Have you always thought that? Or like, I never was like a conspiracy theorist at all until 2020. Like, I feel like then I wouldn't call myself a full on one, but I have some questions, you know? So I'm just curious, were you always like that or like,
I don't even think it's so much conspiracy stuff other than just things like, with the whole UFO studies that they've been doing, what have they really found?
No, you're just like, Rick is way into that, but he thinks there are aliens. Like Rick's so,
I believe there's, yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe that.
I'm like, I don't know. I mean,
when you really,
like there's something, but
when you really think about it, when you look at the term UFO and you look at it on its surface, anything that is a flying object that is unidentifiable is a UFO.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, are they alien UFOs?
Yeah.
That's another story. But I do believe that there is something other, some other forms of life out there in the universe. There has to be, you know, and I'm sure the government probably is aware of some of them. And I would like to know those secrets.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to send you a podcast. You probably heard it, but Rick had me listen to it, that they interviewed this guy who worked in Nevada. And I don't know, have you heard this podcast? I'm going to send it to you. I'll say the name wrong and everything of him. But
was that the guy that worked secret at Area 51?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a documentary on him.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. And he had the secret hand code thing that he had to check in when they caught the aliens from the ship. Is that the same guy?
It was more what I heard was more of him like working on the ship and trying to figure it out. Like the,
Yeah. I think it's the same. I think it's the same guy.
Found it. Yeah. He was a physicist, I think, and figuring out the physics of like how it works.
I can't remember his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. There was a documentary I watched on him and he talked about that. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm well aware of that. I'm just curious about that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Next question. What was your first date with your spouse like?
Oh, it was cute. Okay, so I was still just 17, and he picked me up in a car. It was a Trans Am, and like he loved that car. And then he found out I was vegetarian. He's a meat lover still to this day. Like we're so opposites in our diet, and he took me to like soup and salad or something, like, you know, like one of those, because he knew like there'd be vegetables. And then we saw a movie, and like that was it. They drove me home. He was a gentleman. It was cute. So it was good. I didn't embarrass myself, I think.
Sounding like nice, pleasant evening. Nothing outrageous.
Yeah.
Three more questions here, Kristen. The next one. What do you think history books will say about this time we're living in right now?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I don't know what the history books will say. They'll probably talk a lot about COVID, and then also like my background, social work. So like I could see the social work books having a lot about the BLM and the rising of civil rights and like talking about it in that way. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's portrayed accurately would be my question. So that's the conspiracy theorist in me, I guess. Like that's the part where I'm like, they're still looking at COVID too, which I think is interesting. Like seeing how accurately we're reporting it and like comorbidities along with people who died of COVID. So I think it's a decade, you know, to really learn. So I hope we don't like start writing it down already. I hope they wait so that we know we can accurately report everything.
Yeah. Makes sense. Next question. What do you often complain about?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Oh my gosh. This one's a tough one. I think if I'm complaining, like at the end of the day, like I'm venting to Rick or something, it's probably going to be about like, if it was a rough day with the kids, like they were emotional, they were fighting, whiny, like right now we're kind of dealing with that. I love them to pieces. So I really try not to say anything negative about them because like they're my life. I love them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're always trying to teach them to not be. It's probably going to be about that if like there's something more than others. What about you? What would you complain about?
Oh, God. What do I mostly complain about? I would just have to say stupid people in general.
That's my wife, you probably. That's so funny. That's a good cop answer.
I mean, I can't stand just flat out stupidity. People just doing dumb shit that just doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, why?
Yeah.
You're like, my wife often talks about some of her friends, and I just shake my head like, what are they thinking about? I mean, just step back for a second and look at the situation. Mm-hmm. And you realize if I do that, that may be stupid. But I might not want to do that. You know? So I think that for me, it would definitely be stupid people.
Makes sense.
The last question here. All right. This is random. Do you prefer to spend New Year's Eve in sequins or sweatpants?
Oh my gosh. sweatpants these days, but like for sure. I think before kids, maybe go out and party, but like Rick has never been, it's going to be crowded if you're going to go out. Like we met in Vegas, right? Like we didn't really go out a ton there, but I feel like ever since Rick became a cop, he's like, it's going to be crowded. Like, I don't go out tonight. I'll go out another night, you know?
Yeah.
So even before kids, now we have kids, like, no, I don't even try to keep them up till midnight because I know they're not going to sleep in. And it's going to be a grumpy day the next day. So I'm going to go to bed like pretty soon after that too, as sad as that is.
I think we've gone out in the 30 years we've been married. I think we've gone out on New Year's Eve maybe 3 times mm-hmm. and 2 out of the 3 were just awful.
Oh, no.
It was just crowded. We went to a restaurant where they had a limited menu. The food was awful.
Oh, no.
Everyone was just drunk and stupid. And
can't be
we prefer just, yeah, we prefer just to stay home. So it's definitely sweatpants for us. Yeah. All right, Kristen, I want to go ahead and get to my next segment. And I don't know if you remember the question or not, but I asked you to come up with a question for the listener. Do you recall what it was?
No.
I have it written down unless you have another question.
No, what did I send you? No, I don't.
Okay.
All right.
This is what I call flip the script. And this is where the guest gets to ask you, the listener, a question. And Kristen submitted her question and it was, what's the glue in your relationship during those busy, lots of overtime months?
Yeah.
Do you recall that? Yeah.
I do recall it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so to answer Kristen's question, simply click the link down in the show notes or go over to theoffdutypodcast.com/talktome and you can leave a voice message. There's nothing to download. Just click on the button and start talking away and I will play your response on a future episode. All right, last segment here. And this is my rapid fire round. This is what I call this or that. And I'm simply going to give you 2 topics. Don't have to think about it. Don't give it too much thought. Don't necessarily have to explain why. All right. And the first one is hot weather or cold weather?
Hot.
Fresh juice or smoothie?
Smoothie.
Shopping in store or online?
Online these days.
Call or text?
Text.
Toilet paper over or under?
Over.
Bar of soap or shower gel?
Shower gel.
Foresee the future or change the past?
Foresee the future.
Do the laundry or do dishes?
Laundry, because you could sit.
And the last one, loyalty or respect?
Loyalty. Both. But can I say both?
Awesome. Kristen, I appreciate you reaching out and asking to come on the podcast. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed getting to learn more about you and Rick there. If you can do me a favor, please, if you can share your social media so that the listener can go over and check you guys out and check out the book and all of that stuff. And again, folks, there will be links to everything down in the show notes.
Awesome. Yeah, you can find me at Heels and Holster, all one word, just H-E-E-L-S and A-N-D, Holster. And on Instagram, and I'm also on TikTok. I try to repost my Instagram reels on there.
Okay.
But Instagram's like where I'm most active. So I'd love to see you guys over there.
Awesome. And I'm sorry, I think I asked you this earlier, but the book, you said you can get it on Amazon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay. There's 2, Be a Happy Police Wife and Motherhood. That is on Audible. It's a Kindle book too, ebook. And then the other one is Heels and Holster, a Police Wife devotional on Kindle ebook and a paperback on Amazon.
Once again, guys, there are links to all of her stuff down in the show notes. So please go over, say hello, check her out and see what she has going. Again, Kristen, I appreciate you coming on here. Any last words before we get out of here?
No, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. I always enjoy doing this. It's just asking these random questions. It's, for me, it's nice to get to, I learn about people when I ask these questions, and I hope that the listeners are able to do the same thing. I hope they don't just view them as just random questions because the whole point is to kind of give you a different point of view or perspective of the person that is answering the questions. Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, I've said this each and every episode, but if you're not a VIP, man, you are missing out. You need to get on the VIP membership right now. It's only $9 a month. Your membership helps the podcast. But more importantly, it also helps every month. A portion of your membership will go to the First Responders Children's Foundation. And you get not only to help the podcast, not only to help that nonprofit, but you also get vacation vouchers and discounts on merch and all this other stuff for $9 a month. So go check it out. There's a link down in the show notes. And guys, I appreciate each and every single one of you listening to the podcast. And I will see you guys all on the next episode. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.